Let's take a first look at what it says in this morning's newspapers with John S. Doyle.
The Irish Times leads with a call by the chief medical officer for people to stay at home over Easter. Dr. Tony Houlihan said last night that people with second homes should not travel to them for the bank holiday weekend. The Belfast Telegraph reports that a top Northern Ireland-born doctor, whose family ran a hotel at the Giant's Causeway, has called for roads to the seaside to be closed this Easter. "Please, please stay away," said Dr. Catherine Armstrong, who is a professor of paediatrics in Vancouver. There is no roadmap for when to ease the extraordinary restrictions imposed on the public because of the coronavirus, so says the Irish Independent in its lead story, quoting the Taoiseach. Leo Varadkar said that planning was taking place for how the restrictions on everyday life would eventually be lifted, but he admitted that the government would have to figure it out as we go along. The Irish Examiner reports that unemployment, which had been forecast to peak at 25% this summer because of the COVID-19 crisis, may have already exceeded that level 2 months earlier than forecast. €2.8 billion is the figure in the Irish Daily Mail's lead headline. That's the figure for grocery sales in the past 12 weeks. Ireland's supermarkets have had their busiest ever sales period as a result of the coronavirus outbreak, the paper says. The Star leads with the story marked exclusive under the headline Gobby Lawler. Nicola Donnelly reports that the paper has heard a recording in which Robbie Lawler, who was shot dead in Belfast at the weekend, laughed off the moment he was confronted and attacked on the streets of Dublin by what he said was a gang of kids who stole his gym bag containing his flip-flops. The news that the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been moved into an intensive care unit in London is the main story for the Irish News, the Irish Sun and the Irish Daily Mirror. In the Times, Dennis Staunton reports from London that the news about Johnson, announced last night, came as a shock in Westminster and Whitehall after Downing Street had said a few hours earlier that he was still in hospital under observation after tests. Staunton notes that Dominic Raab, the Foreign Secretary, is what's called the designated survivor if the Prime Minister becomes unable to carry out his duties. The coronavirus crisis has highlighted the weakness of a cabinet dominated by ideologues and placemen, but the dangerous state of the Prime Minister's health has brought it into grim, urgent focus, says Staunton. The Examiner has an interview with a housekeeping worker in Cork University Hospital. Fiona Grant has taken only one day off in the last 4 weeks. She tells Liz Dunphy, "We're extremely proud of our work. Before, frontline staff were only thought of as doctors and nurses, but we're all frontline staff. You couldn't keep CUH open without the cleaners, catering, the porters." Fintan O'Toole, in a column in The Times, writes that crisis management is what this state does best. The Irish system of governance tends to come into its own when, as Captain Boyle puts it in Juno and the Peacock, the whole world's in a terrible state of chassis, he says. But even in the immediate aftermath of the crisis, there will be profound choices, says O'Toole. One of the choices he outlines is, are we really going to declare that the one-tier health system created by COVID-19, in which people are treated according to medical need and not their ability to pay, was just a temporary little arrangement? Similarly, the Examiner in an editorial says the crisis shows that a better future is possible. It is premature to suggest that because urgent necessity finally stepped over privilege, we now have a one-tier health system, says the writer. Nevertheless, it is impossible to imagine we might return to the situation where treatment was delivered on the basis of a person's resources rather than need.